Welcome to this week's episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for Christians to connect with the Jewish roots of their faith. I'm your host, Frank. This week, we're going to be discussing the portions of Matot and Mas'eh from Numbers 30 to 36. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it up, read it with us. I pray the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and change your life. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for Christians to connect with the Jewish roots of their faith. You can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major platforms. Visit our website, TorahConversations.com, and connect with us on Instagram as Torah Conversations, and join us on Patreon at patreon.com/TorahConversations. That's patreon.com/TorahConversations, and become a monthly subscriber, supporter. That way you help us to continue putting out more content and bless people. Well, this week we're coming to the last double portion. We have a double portion this week, which is always exciting. All double portions are always good, isn't it? The last double portion of the book of Numbers. And we're coming to an end of a book, but we're also coming to the end of the life of Moses. And we've been talking about the Joshua generation, the closing off of the Moses generation and the beginning, the launching of the Joshua generation. And we've been talking about this transitioning of the church that God is bringing about. And we want to learn the lessons from the Israelites. We want to hear what God is saying to the church from these chapters. And with me this week, I have my returning guest, Brian Greenaway. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show again. How is it going?
Hi, Frank. It's really good to be with you. Yeah, going well, going good.
God is good. Good to be with you. Amen. Well, it's actually been a while since you came on, because the last time you came on was all the way back in Exodus. First few chapters of Exodus, I think anyway, and you wanted to get you back for one of the episodes in Leviticus, but didn't get to.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And you went through quite a bit, right? But the Lord took you through quite a bit during this time, just over the last few months. Yeah. Would you like to just tell us about what's been happening?
Yeah. Well, actually, my sort of what's happened coincided with all this sort of virus thing, because when I came back from Israel in late 2019, I injured myself. Yeah. In our loft here at home.
Wow.
And the doctor said that it was a hernia. And so, you know, I had the scan and they said it's going to happen. Then, of course, the whole world shut down.
Yeah.
So, and through that time, you know, all sorts of things happened. But when things began to unlock again, cutting a long story short, really, I went into hospital for the operation on that particular day. And when I went there, I said to the doctor, to the surgeon who came round to just before the op, he said, I said, I've never seen anyone. And he said, oh, you've never seen? I said, no, I haven't. It's all been on the phone. He said, oh, that's not good. I don't think you should be here. So, and so then the anaesthetist came round and he started to talk to me and I said, oh, yeah. So the surgeon said, oh, we'll look inside anyway for this hernia. Yeah. I thought, wasn't sure about that. But anyway, so the anaesthetist said, oh, we're not sure because of this situation. I said, but you do know at the moment, my doctor said I've got to wear a heart trace monitor. He said, really?
Oh.
I said, yeah, I've had these palpitations. So he said, oh, I'm not happy. I'm sending you home. We're really sorry to bring you in. And they was very apologetic. So I went home. And then I had the heart trace thing from the doctors. And then this all happened at the same time. Then I went back to the hospital for the scan. And the registrar saw me and he said, and he scanned and he scanned again. He said, there is no hernia there. There's nothing wrong with you. He said, it's all absolutely fine. And then the following day, I had a phone call from the doctors to say, your heart trace monitor is absolutely clear. There's nothing there. Wow. So, you know, I think maybe God had sort of interrupted the whole sequence with this strange thing. There's nothing wrong with my heart at all, you know, strain to stop the operation happening.
Wow.
And it wasn't really coinciding of all events. We can look to the Lord. 18 months of me being careful meant whether I had a hernia or not, I don't know. And then we had a double car accident at the same time. My car written off. I was doing 70 miles an hour on the motorway and the bonnet flew up instantly and smashed the front of the car in. Mm. And it was on the busy M25 A2 junction, and we just, you know, the Lord took us through four lanes of traffic. And I said, "Oh, what?" And I said to my wife, "Oh, that's a bit inconvenient, isn't it?" And we sort of drifted across, and it must have been, we know it was the Lord, because get across when we couldn't see where we were going, busy traffic. And then 2 weeks after that, I was driving my son's car, and a piece of wood flew up from underneath a lorry and went straight through the front, smashing the radiator and everything. So we thought, you know, well, the Lord's handed all this. So that was, where are we now? We're now in June. That was June, really. That was May, really, for me, June. So, but God works through all these things, doesn't he? He protects us, and he preserves us, and he orders our steps, even if we don't know what's happening day to day. He orders our steps. Definitely does.
Wow, so two cars, but you're okay.
Yeah, we're fine. We're absolutely fine.
Right, but your car and your son's car both got written off.
My son's car cost about £800. Mine got written off completely. So
wow, that is crazy.
There you go.
Yeah, that's. But it is a miracle, because the Lord protected you twice.
Yes.
And then definitely this whole hernia stuff, and then it just seems like an enemy just comes like one onslaught after another, right? Because the car accidents, right, were they after the doctor told you that you don't have hernia, or
it was just before? Actually,
just before
that happened. Yeah, just before.
right yeah, so the enemy must have known that this hindrance, this hurdle is removed, and he's bringing another. But I do feel like this is, you know, we've been talking about the transitioning of the generation. And before we started recording, I was telling you that throughout the first lockdown, I kept hearing that the church, as we know, is coming to an end. This is what the Lord's been keep saying to me. And it's likened to an Elijah passing the mantle to Elisha moment. Because remember, the prophecy that I gave about the Elijah and Boris going to hiding, but also the church, something to do with the church, and then Elisha rising. So the transitioning of the generation, but then we've been talking about the Joshua generation. So it's a transitioning. Yeah. It's like a church going from this old expression to a new expression. The Lord is raising up, is bringing about a new wineskin, a new form, so to speak. And I feel like just your car, the thing that happened to your car, the fact that it's completely written off, and you have to get a new one, that's a prophetic sign. I feel like it's just everything. Just we've been talking about all of that, and then you getting a new car, and the old car being it was quite unexpected, wasn't it?
Well, the interesting thing is, because I've got the same car, bought the same car.
I did,
it's the same model car,
right?
But it's a newer one, a better one. And people say, "Have you changed your car?" I said, "Well, it is a slightly different color." In the same way, I suppose, I've been thinking recently, I think of that word interruption, you know, this heart thing that was, there was nothing in it, was an interruption to what we thought was going to happen. We thought was going to have an operation. We thought, I'm going to have weeks of not being able to do things, months actually not being able to do things. And yet the interruption protected the debilitation in a way.
Right.
So you think of interruption, I think, you know, I've heard recently somebody say, you know, that let's hope that we don't try and return to what things used to be after the COVID thing, as a church.
Right.
You know, it's in, we must welcome the disruption, and we must learn from the disruption or the interruption. Yeah, it's really
important. That is so true. That is so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And which we're going to talk about all of that in this week's double portion. It's interesting, double portion, and you had a double car accident. But then the Lord is bringing a double portion out of the tragedy. Well, not that much tragedy in terms of the car, but, you know, the Lord is bringing all of that. But also you're a pastor, and you are the director of the UK branch of Ma'oz. So what's been happening in the church and in the ministry?
Okay, yeah. In the church, we've been continuing through the lockdown within guidelines, still meeting. Yeah. And we're in the middle of we're coming towards the end of what we thought was a short series on the parables.
Yeah.
And we're actually doing our 22nd week this week on the parables of Jesus, putting them in the original setting, you know, their Hebraic context. So this week we're looking at the fig tree, and how that is significant, the fig tree, you know, it symbolizes Israel and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, we've had some good times in the church. Like any churches, we're going through transition learning from what's happening, but we felt the necessity to keep going. You know, I've spoken to quite a few pastors and they've been candid with me and they've said, I really don't know what's going to happen to my church after. Well, I don't know if people are going to come back. I don't know if I've still got a church. People are saying that.
Wow.
But we felt during this time, you've got to just keep going. You know, you've got to keep persisting and enduring and keep on feeding people, keep on pastoring people, keep on caring for people and keep on preaching the word.
Yeah.
That's really, really important. So as a church, that's what we felt. And, you know, we've seen, you know, there's some things we don't know, but then leadership is about leading when you don't know what's going on. You know, we are otherwise not dependent on God, are we? So that's all.
Right, exactly.
The church scene.
So it's about following the face of God, following the pillar of cloud and fire.
Mm.
So wherever the cloud and fire goes, we go. And that's the key to victory, really.
They tried
to go into the promised land without the presence when the presence hadn't gone forward, and they were defeated because of that. And we don't want to do that. We can't afford to do that. I think you know, even though I've always said that the church, we should have been more courageous. We shouldn't have given into fear when the virus came, and then shutting down all the churches. Many of the churches actually shut before it was mandated. So I don't think we should have done that, but at the same time I think it's also unwise to think that we should just go about just continue doing what we're doing even in person without thinking, you know, this could be a divine interruption, because maybe, just maybe, we weren't quite following the Spirit as we should. We weren't quite depending on the Spirit as we ought. And I think this is like a wake-up call, I think. And I think out of lockdown, you know, I think many people are going to be more dependent on the Spirit, on God than ever. And we just find this dependency, and it's His strength being made perfect in weakness, isn't it? So when we are weak, when we embrace our weakness, then His strength is perfected in it. So, but also I want to ask you really quickly, but what about Israel? Like, what's been happening with Maoz?
Because
I know there's been a new prime minister in Israel.
That's right.
New leadership. I want to ask for your thoughts. What are your thoughts on this?
All right, Mr. Naftali Bennett. Yes, I mean, it was a chaotic day, the handover.
Right.
And from people on the ground, you know, our guys on the ground, they had, like, for example, Kobe and Shanee Ferguson, who lead Maoz in Israel. They had a crazy day where I can't remember all the details, but their car broke down, and then they were borrowing somebody else's, and then that broke down. So they ended up with the fellowship of artists. That's the musicians and the artists in our worship studio in Jerusalem. Between them, they had three cars broken down. And then there was a fire. You heard about the fires, many did. There was one of these massive fires very near their home. Messianic kibbutz. Nearly got evacuated because of the fire. And then the wind changed direction as they were evacuating, and it went the other way. And all this was happening around the time of the change of government, and people will have known if they followed the news, you know, about the speeches and everything. You know, we have to really commend the work that Bibi Netanyahu has done over the years. You know, he's been a statesman and everything, but actually that wasn't a good day. It wasn't a good day. You know, the behavior of some of the guys in the Knesset wasn't brilliant. So it was a tumultuous day as well, a real day of change, but a day that was unpleasant for people locally and nationally as well. But it's going to be an interesting time. I mean, eight parties, from Islamic party through to very liberal, and you think, how is that going to work? But I think maybe that's just a reflection of Israel. For those who have been there, you'll know that so all the cultures that have come together, Ashkenazi, Sephardic, Mizrahi, you know, all the people from the different nations, different people don't realize the differences between the different types of Jewish people that God has brought together.
Yeah.
You know, so in a way, I think this government sort of reflects, you know, what Israeli culture is like.
Right.
And, but there are opportunities, you know, now we're coming out of lockdown. We've had an incredible legal case come through just this last couple of weeks.
Yes.
In that, in our country, in the UK, you get a gift aid.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have donations, someone pays, people know the principle of gift aid, but there's a similar thing in Israel, but Messianic groups have never been able to benefit from that previously. But just this last week, there was a court case ruling that said that they can actually claim their equivalent of the gift aid.
I think I heard about it. Was that Tiferet Yeshua?
It was to Pretty Sure, yes. It was our home congregation in Israel. Wow. So it was brilliant, you know.
That's amazing.
It was quite funny because it shows you the growing status of believers, because the High Court judge said, well, these people are controversial, but they're not illegal. And I thought, that's good. You know, we've moved from illegal to controversial. That's stepping up in Israeli culture for believers. It really is stepping up. We're no longer illegal. We're now controversial. So that was, you know. That's a blessing, because many believers will benefit from that, of course. Many believers will benefit from
it. Do you believe, because it's amazing, like, I've not heard about the whole, like, cars breaking down and the fire and the wind and kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a change, the wind is changing, that's what I'm sensing.
Sure.
It's whether it's good or bad, I think when the Lord begins to move, it stirs up everything that's not so good. So it's everything in the mix, but overall, the wind is changing and things are happening and it has a global significance to it as well. But I want to ask you, do you think that it's a new day for the Messianic community? Because it seems like the religious, even though, I mean, we have a first religious Zionist prime minister, but the religious parties, the stronghold, is that they're not part of that anymore, are they?
No, they're not. No, the Shas party and the Torah party, they are not part of the government, it seems. And I've heard somebody say, you know, that what's happening now is that previously our government leads, cabinet positions were given because of the coalition.
Right.
But actually that people that are being chosen are more specialists in those roles now. Mm. There are people who have knowledge and gifts and ability in those roles. Mm. So they should be able to lead them. But yeah, it is going to be interesting because as many will know, it's really difficult for Messianic believers to make Aliyah, to become citizens, because of the stranglehold of the religious parties. Yeah. But that appears it's not going to be there anymore. So there might be great opportunity for believers to make Aliyah, go to the land. It's possible now, but it's difficult.
That's interesting. That's very interesting, because you know, you and I both believe that there's an invisible world, there's an unseen realm around us, right? So the religious parties in Israel, they're more than just religious parties. They reflect a portion of what's going on in the spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual stronghold that's been keeping the Messianics, right? And now, since the new government. Mm-hmm. You know, this new court case came through, and there's a big breakthrough. And I think it's really significant. And you know, as someone who's you know, as a prophetic person myself, you know, I have to kind of weigh in, like, look at everything that's been happening, because you know, we've talked a little bit about this, because what I sensed the day before the election was that Bibi, I had a vision of Bibi kind of like wrestling with God, just like Jacob, in a similar situation to Trump. But I saw that, because a year ago he spoke to me saying he's using Bibi to, basically the word was that Benjamin Netanyahu would reveal the son of his right hand, whom he has given. It's the play on word. Benjamin Netanyahu yachshuv et Benyamini asher natati. It's like this wordplay. It's really neat. But so last year he spoke, he said he himself would lift up Netanyahu, would give Netanyahu this fifth term as a sign of his grace. And it was a sign of the gospel going forth in Israel. But this year I saw this Jacob vision wrestling with God, and he connected that to Psalm 24. It's about a Jacob generation seeking the face of God and being face to face with God. It's going through this wrestling, and it is about the gates of glory that's being opened up in the nations. But I had to realize something. It's that God is not primarily using Bibi to bring righteousness to Israel or to bring just laws to Israel. He's using him to speak to the church, the global church, as to where we are at. So I think the global church is going through like a wrestling.
And I
personally don't believe it's over for him. I think God still has a purpose for Bibi, similar to Trump. But the difference is, I did sense for this new government, there is a special purpose for the new government. I actually sense something positive. So I'm sensing this, but I'm sensing that, but they both seem to contradict each other. I'm like, what am I doing with that? But you know, but then I found it really interesting, because we were doing a recording the portion of Korach, the Korah, that same week when all the religious Jews were reading Korah, the story of Korah in the synagogues, that Monday, this sinkhole appeared in Jerusalem in a hospital.
Didn't see that.
And then Korah, along with 250 men, conspired against Moses. And then the Lord opened the hole to swallow them up at the same time. And then in Israel, that's what I felt. It seems like, you know, all these parties that didn't seem to get along with one another, but they kind of teamed up together against Netanyahu because they didn't really like Netanyahu. For me, I felt like it was more about uniting against somebody rather than, I mean, feel free to disagree. It seems like they're uniting against somebody rather than uniting for a purpose.
Yeah, it does seem that way, yeah.
It seems like that. And then there's this hole appeared in the same week, right? And I thought that's crazy. But at the same time, you know, somebody pointed out, you know, because in that same portion, the Lord vindicated Aaron with the budding of the almond blossoms on his rod. And then, you know, we talked about the word almond.
Watching over,
And then there is the Ayelet Shaked, who is the new ministry of Minister of Interior.
Yes, of course, key role.
But here's the difference, right? Because in the portion, the almond was a symbol of vindication. It was on Aaron. It was on Moses' side. But in this case, there's the parallel with Korah and all that. Seems to be, you know, on the new government side, but but the almond is part of the government for now, and she is the Minister of Interior. And you know, my friend was saying, you know, I'm praying that this is a new season for making Aliyah. You know, you were talking about making Aliyah, believing for more messianics to be able to make Aliyah. I think this is. There is a special purpose in this. I think it's very important that we watch, so, you know, Shaked, you know, Shoked, watch over. So I feel like the Lord is saying to the church, watch, especially to the intercessors of Israel, watch Ayelet Shaked. Watch the Ministry of Interior. Watch the Messianics making Aliyah. I think it is a glorious new day. We don't know what's happening with maybe I think he's going to have to go through some stuff, right? Go through this wrestling, especially with, you know, just like Jacob dealing with his deceit. Maybe he has to deal with that. But I believe that I believe that the Lord is for him, not against him in this process. I actually do feel, even though a lot of the, you know, I know most messianics in Israel support the new government, almost to a point of not liking Netanyahu. But that part, I have to say, I disagree because I feel God's heart for Netanyahu. He is for him, not against him, and he has he is watching over this nation. Anyway,
good.
let's get into the portion. We need to get into the portion. Very good.
Excellent.
Yes. So the portion we have double portion. It's Matot and Mas'e. Which is from Numbers 30 to the end of the book. And it just begins with, well, begins with vows and then the warring against the Midianites and then getting all the, they plunder them and kill them, kill their women and men. And then we'll come to pretty much the end of the book, the end of Moses' life. We'll come to the end of a generation, pretty much. So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this portion as a whole? And what do you think it's speaking to the church in this nation and around the world, really?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because it is, as you say, Frank, the end of Moses' life. It's the end of the Book of Numbers. It's also the end of a very long chronological, geographical story, isn't it? That really started in Genesis. You know, I know that we've had the law giving anything, but it's all, that's been all part of the journey, hasn't it? And now we come to the end of the Book of Numbers. And, you know, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that if you wanted to write the end of your life or the end of a story or end of a period of time, what would you write? know, what would you write about? Although there is a certain amount of summary, there's also detail in these chapters as well. There's detail here that's being...
It's okay.
There's detail here that's been picked up, and you think, what are these things about? And when you first read it, if you're, maybe...
By the way, that was a sign of Watchmen Arise. Israel's Watchmen. Isaiah 56, I think, being blind, they're like mute dogs that they cannot bark. The Lord is saying, Watchmen for Israel, do not be silent. All right, go ahead.
There you go. Right. Okay. Yes. Where was I saying? Anyway, right. Yeah. So, as I read through the portion, obviously we, read the portion, and then when you're going to talk more about it in depth, you think, well, why are these bits here? Why, this seemingly collection of things that are not, not major,
right?
These vows, and then, the inheritance of the daughters of Zelophehad and things like this. And you think, but actually, I think what God is doing is he's saying, in the detail of our lives, in how we live our lives, in the decisions we make, the way we use our tongue, the power of life and death is in the tongue, the vows, and all this stuff. He's putting things in place, isn't he? To say, right, you're going to transition now from a place of great dependence in the desert. And sometimes, as a believer, it's good to be in a place in the desert, because then we're dependent, aren't we?
Yes.
But you're going to move from dependent. Yeah, it's going to be a big war, but you're going to move from a place of dependency to a place of abundance. And that is dangerous.
Yes.
Now, that is dangerous. So what do we need to put in place to make sure that we don't get drawn away in a place of abundance?
Yes.
So I think maybe these things, the use of the tongue, how we speak and say things, making rash vows, the reminder that Moses gives, that long list of every, God said to him, write down every place you went to. So he lists all these places. And so it's a remembrance of, well, God, we went from here, we went from here to there, from there to here, from here to there, to there, et cetera. And it's a reminder all the time of God's faithfulness, all of these different circumstances and all of these different situations, that God has always been faithful in the place of the desert. And it's the same God who's going to be in the place of abundance. So don't forget him. Don't forget him when you're there. Maybe it's sort of an overview of those chapters.
Right. Yes. Yes. I'm just looking at it. It's just so much lessons that we're learning, because it's the whole season. I mean, this whole, I've been saying season for a long time, but it's more than a season. This grand scheme of what God is taking his church to is he's moving us from the desert to the promised land. So we were talking about Paul Cain and the Joshua generation.
Sure.
We're stepping into that. We're at a season where we're closing off the Moses generation. The new generation, the Joshua generation, has begun. And by the way, it has nothing to do with age. It's all about this new thing the Lord is doing. So nobody's going to pass away. Like, it's not going to happen like that. But the Lord is inviting everybody to this new thing. So the lessons that we can learn, there's so much. And it actually begins, chapter 30 talks about vows. And I feel like we need to start, it starts with a vow. It starts with, not with our ability, because it's his grace, his power being made perfect in our weakness. So it starts with a promise, with a decision, with a will to do it, to say, I vow to follow you. I vow to love you, God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to obey you wherever you want to take me. So chapter 30 talks about vows. It's interesting. If a man makes a vow under any circumstances, it's binding. But if a woman, presumably in her youth, not as an adult, or maybe in her husband's house, if the man hears the vow and doesn't say anything, then it's binding.
Yes.
But if he says something, then it's not binding. I thought that's interesting. I don't know the exact meaning of that, why that is. What do you think?
I think that when you make a vow, a decision, don't you think it's better made in community? When you make a decision to do things, and maybe God is saying, that when decisions are made, we can make, and Jesus warned about those who make vows to avoid responsibility and that sort of thing to the Pharisees. But it's and making, saying rash things as well, making rash vows because of lack of self-control. So there's a self-control element there as there is in other areas.
Yes.
But I think, as I looked at that, I thought to myself, that's, God is saying, if you're going to make important decisions, vows, then they're best made in community.
Right.
That you don't just go off and do things and on your own and make decisions like that. That it's where the community of the family, of course, is there. I mean, that's the key area there, isn't it? The family, the husband,
yes,
the wife, the father. Mm. And so I think that was one thing that God is saying from there, that's, you know, that it's a community thing that you make that decision. And there's protection as well, right. Protection of the vulnerable. Mm. As well, you know, it's those who may, you know, who may be more vulnerable.
Yes.
That there's an allowance for that to protect right. them. It's interesting, isn't it, that the maturity, you know, it talks about not many of you are fathers, mm. he says, doesn't he? John says.
Yes.
Because it means that you bear more responsibility and mm. you make decisions and you have to bear the thing. But when it comes to those who are the weaker vessel, then God gives a protection for them. He says, mm. I'm going to protect you in case you've made a decision. You know, your man's going to have to stand up for what he says, but actually right. I'm going to protect you. Your father, your husband is going to protect you from decisions that you may make, mm. that you can bring to him and say, I've made this decision. He can say, well, don't worry, I can release you from it. Mm. It's in that sort of thing, that community of believers, that the younger ones are protected by the older ones, I suppose.
Yes, that's a really good point. Mm. Never thought about that, because it does say in verse 6 in the English version, in verse 7 in the Hebrew version, that it says, if she, the woman, should marry while under her vows, or the rash statement of her lips. Mm. I think it's just, when you talk about maturity, I think any of us, no matter the gender, we can make rash statements,
mm-hmm.
right? Just yeah. we can, in a moment of zeal or just in our emotions, we just make a decision on something. Mm-hmm. We'll say, I'll do it. The Lord says, I'm not sure. I'm not sure you want to do that.
True. We've all been there.
Yeah, yeah. And there's grace for that. There's grace for
yes.
that. And,
yeah.
And we are the bride of Christ. So in a way yeah. that we are always in the husband's house.
Yes.
That he's That's protecting
good.
Us.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's really, really interesting that in verse 15 in the English and the or 16 in the Hebrew, that says, if he indeed annuls them after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Jesus, Yeshua, has borne yeah. our guilt and he's mm-hmm. fulfilled all the requirements of the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And where mm-hmm. we fall short, he is able to make that up. All mm-hmm. he requires mm-hmm. is that we stay in his house and sure. then we make vows as we do. Because it doesn't say the woman doesn't make vows.
No.
She
no.
does. No. They yeah. do. It's mm-hmm. just that there's a protection in that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with a vow
mm-hmm.
and with his mm-hmm. power, with his grace, he can mm-hmm. take us to the promised land. And that is such a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then chapter 31.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the action. I like this part.
Yeah, no, yeah.
This is the action.
Because
two portions ago, when I read about Bilam, I was I felt so heavy because we're talking mm-hmm. about the most anointed false prophet, mm-hmm. the most accurate false prophet, and who
Incredible.
Really blessed Israel, whose
yeah.
theology, shall we say, were actually reiterated by so many prophets mm-hmm. in the prophetic books in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he was a false prophet, and because mm-hmm. of him, because of his words,
mm-hmm.
he led Israel to idolatry and,
That's right.
and immorality.
Yeah.
An accurate mm-hmm. word that actually caused Israel to open their hearts to this false prophet, mm-hmm. to follow, mm-hmm. not just take the words, but take the person. And they ended
sure,
up in,
sure.
in idolatry, which is mm-hmm. actually the biggest thing, the gods of Baal, the Baal, mm-hmm. worship of Baal, is where they picked up. It's like a problem throughout Israel's history.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked up mm-hmm. from that place with
yeah.
Bilam. And then I was like, this is such a heavy thing. And then mm-hmm. this chapter, Israel gets his revenge.
Yes. Yeah.
So I like mm-hmm. this. So what are your thoughts on this chapter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is holy war, isn't it? If
yes.
you look at verse 6 there, Moses sent them to the war, and it says he sent them to war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the high priest, holy articles, whatever. It doesn't say what they were. It was the ark. We don't know.
Right.
And the signal trumpets in his hand. So this is a holy war. So it's a in a sense, justified by God war, isn't it? Some people have an issue with this chapter.
Right.
They say, oh man, all these people, they were just absolutely killed, but it's a holy war.
Yeah.
And, you know, and God never designed people to be killed or never designed this to happen, but actually in the fallen state, he has to deal with judgment, doesn't he?
Right.
In that. And in Romans 1 and 2, we see that, you know, unrighteousness will suffer the wrath of God. And this is what happens, isn't it, here? These people who, the Midianite Moabites, if you like, because there are still Midianites later on, of course.
Right.
But the, particularly this geographical Moabite Midianites, and he says, just destroy them all, because they are what led you. And I suppose, and again, it's another preparation for the next generation, isn't it? He's saying, this is, no, this is, okay, you were able to resist them in military war and all other areas. When it comes to the sexual sin, the morality, that's where you fell. You know, the, these women that caused you to in verse 16, the women caused the children of Israel to have idolatry and all the sort of things that carried on there. He's saying, you know, you've got to deal with these things right at the beginning. You've got to deal with these temptations of the flesh. You've got to deal with the idolatry right at the beginning. And, you know, these chosen, it's not everyone goes, but these chosen warriors, these 1,000 from each tribe are gone, and they have to execute judgment on those that caused them to fall, but also for their own selves as well. You know, that's why Moses gets so angry, doesn't he? He says, why are they still alive? And also, as God says sometimes, we say to God, I mean, I suppose looking at vows, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned in that area. I'm never going to do it again. You know, that's a rash vow sometimes,
right,
isn't it?
Yes.
God says, yes, you will, but don't worry, there's going to be forgiveness. But actually, the way we can deal with this area in your life is for you to cut it out. Stop that's going true. There. You know, don't, if you're a reformed bank robber, don't go into a bank with a loaded gun. You know, don't do it. You know, don't go there again. You've got to cut this area out of your life completely if it's never going to be an area where you have to come back to me and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned again in that area. But you didn't deal with it, did you? It's almost like that, isn't it? Just deal with it. Saying, deal with these people.
And talking about sexual sins, and it is the biggest issue in the church or the whole Western culture, really. It's all about, you know, this idolatry of this, it's a sexualized society in this world, and especially in the young generation. I mean, we're looking at over here in Scotland, I mean, this, I've got to be careful what I say lest we get censored, but this indoctrination of the, you know, sex ed and the six-year-olds getting taught on, you know, homosexuality and just cisgender, this gender, that gender stuff. This confusion. I mean, it's the spirit of Baal, the spirit of immorality. Definitely. And it's actually from this point, right? I just I just realized it is from this point Israel picked up immorality. The god of Baal, it's a fertility god. Right? And, you know, Baal with Asherah being his consort, this immorality. So there's the spirit of control, that's witchcraft, with seduction, with immorality, all of that coupled together. This is our culture. And
it is.
We need to separate ourselves from it. And it's like, you make really good point, because technically, Israel didn't have to sin by talking to Moabites, even though God said repeatedly, you're not to have anything to do with the Moabites. But technically, they could talk to Moabites without sinning. They could do that. But you don't do that because they're going to cause Israel to stumble. They're going to cause them to sin. If they put themselves in that situation, they're going to be affected by it. Technically, you could go into a bank with a loaded gun without robbing the bank. But that's going to put you in that position to sin.
Indeed it is.
It's not an issue in Britain because guns are illegal here, which is a whole other discussion. If you're an American, by the way, majority of our listeners come from America. So if you're in America, technically it's legal. You can actually have a loaded gun and you go into the bank. It's legal. So that applies to you if you're from America. So we need to cut this off. We need to cut off everything that hinders the little foxes that ruin the vine. And then it talks about dividing the booty between the congregation. We're going to talk about this, but the time is up for this episode. So if you want to listen to the full discussion on this portion, we've only discussed two chapters. We took a bit of time on the Israel part and just what the Lord's been saying to this generation. It's very important to hear what the Lord has to say. So if you want to hear the full discussion, we have 4.5 more chapters to discuss. Go on to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Torah Conversations and become a monthly supporter. A patron That's what they call it, a patron. And you can get early access to every episode, and you can get also this extended hour-long discussion on the portion as we continue. So patreon.com/TorahConversations. But for now, thank you, Brian, for coming on the show this week.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major platforms. Visit our website, TorahConversations.com, and become a supporter on Patreon at patreon.com/TorahConversations. Have a great weekend, everyone. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.